Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to stop by four very important places. Gilgal, and then Bethel, and then Jericho, and then Yerington. It's going to be awesome. No, it's going to be Jordan after that. Even though we get to these places, and they're very important, as we'll see here in a minute, we can't just stop there as well. Elijah, remember, is about ready to depart. And it was the custom of the folks that right before they depart, they would give a blessing, which turned out to be a legal sort of transference of the heritage. But also what it was prophetic. As we see in Genesis 49, when Jacob lays hands and prophesies over his 12 sons. And that's why you're going to see Elisha hanging very close to Elijah. And everybody knows that God has said to Elijah, I'm going to come get you in a taxi cab that's going to blow your mind. Let's check it out. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. By the way, that word for whirlwind means a whirlwind, but it could also be inserted here, the Shekinah. It could have been a kind of a tornado of sorts, but I don't think so. Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal. We got to do a little history. Join me in the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 5. Join me in verse number 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan River, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Now, if you have a military mind or certainly military training, this is good stuff. And they don't want to fight you. That's a time when you attack. Everybody knows that. God's timing is not our timing. Now, though it'd be the perfect military time to attack, I want you, Israel, time out. A stop of the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Proverbs 3, we'll see this Sunday. And so are the stops of God. What are you doing, Lord? Let's take advantage of this tremendous momentum. Verse 2. And at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. When was the first time? You might want to write in there, Exodus chapter 12, after the 10th and final miracle that God did through Moses, and Pharaoh said, you guys are out of here. You go, go. That they circumcised themselves then. What were they doing for the 400 years that they were there in Egypt? They were not honoring the covenant that God had given to Abraham all those years in front. And so God says, you're about ready to head into the promised land, so make sure that you're circumcised. That was, as it were, the first time within the recent memory of these players here in this narrative. But then 40 years in the desert, guess what? Those people that God said, you still have that slave mentality. This generation is going to have to die in the wilderness, and it's going to be the next generation that's going to take the land from the usurpers. even though they saw the 10 plagues of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the manna every morning, the Shekinah glory every day, every night, they were not circumcising their own sons. So it's battle time, time for spiritual warfare. Let's get moving. God says, maybe, but here's how I do it. Step number one, Gilgal. Verse 3. So Joshua made flint knives for himself. Flint knives. Brothers, are you feeling me? Are you feeling me? Not nice scalpels. Circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. I'll just leave that alone. Verse 4. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them, because all the people who came up out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come up out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, that's Exodus 12. But all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came up out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the people who were the men of war had come up out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach." And that word for rolled away is the Hebrew word Gilgal. Remember what Paul says? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not fleshly, but they're spiritual. And they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Step number one, before Elisha is going to be released in his ministry, transition starts at a place called Gilgal. The rolling away. First things first. Are you saved? Have you given Jesus Christ your heart? Then number two, is there anything in us that says, yep, I'm saved, so I get to continue pretty much in the same manner and lifestyle? You have to cut away the stuff. This is the day, verse 9. I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Egypt always stands for a model of the world. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day. Oh, I got to show you this. With your eyes, look back in chapter 4, verse 19. When the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, that's Nisan. That's the 10th of Nisan. This, you guys, is the true triumphal entry. Some 1,500 years later, when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he comes in also on the 10th of Nisan. Coincidence? I think not. Now back with your eyes to chapter 5, verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped at Gilgal and kept the Passover on what day, everybody? The 14th. What day was Jesus crucified on? Passover. The 14th. Played out here so beautifully. Now back to 2 Kings. Verse 1. One more time. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by the whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal. Step number one. Are you born again? Has there been a rolling away of the old stuff, before any spiritual battle, before eating the fruit of the promised land, if we were to keep reading? Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Okay, stay here at Gilgal, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." There's your next stop. It's a crucial place to arrive at, Gilgal, but don't just stop there. I'm saved, I got my fire insurance, and this is pretty much of what the walk of the Lord is like. Not if you want to be successful in spiritual battle. We have to move on to Bethel. But Elijah said, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." Because remember, he's anticipating Elijah being taken up, and I want that blessing, that pronouncement of ministry. So they went to Bethel, house of God. Hold your finger in 2 Kings. Join me in Genesis chapter 28. I love this story. Jacob and Esau. Esau is a man's man. He's Tim Allen. Oh, 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 oh. And Jacob, he's a little bit like Martha Stewart. He's kind of a homebody, and he's good around the kitchen. And as you know, his dad, Isaac, sort of prefers Esau. He's a man of the field. And because God had told him that the firstborn was going to serve the secondborn, Isaac did not like that at all. And so he was sort of setting up Esau, the firstborn, to take the inheritance. And you know the story. Mom was listening in. So she's the one that fakes like Jacob is Esau and sends him in. Dad consumes the stew and then pronounces the blessing of the firstborn actually upon the secondborn. This is terrible, says Esau. But the Bible says he didn't really cherish, in fact, despised his birthright. But when it came down to it, he vowed to kill Jacob. I'm going to get you. You just wait till Dad dies, and then you're dead meat. So Mom says, Jacob, you know, your brother is a lot stronger than you are. You'd better blow dodge. In fact, why don't you go see my dad back in a place called Padam Aram and make arrangements with him. So Jacob takes off. We're going to pick the story up in chapter 28. Join me in verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Verse 11. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. He's probably thinking, poor me. The only thing I have is a rock for my pillow. And oftentimes when we sort of do God's will for him and it sort of blows up in our face and we are suffering the consequences, we're sort of like this right here. Look at this place where I'm at. All that I have for a pillow and comfort is this, ow, this rock under my head. Verse 12. And then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. There the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, Yo, Jacob, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Verse 14. Also your descendants, they're going to be so huge. They shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you. Look, check it out. You see me? I'm here with you. When he closed his eyes that night, what did it seem like to Jacob? I'm here all by myself. And all I have for a pillow is this rock. It was a Sleep Number rock, though, so it was a little bit better. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Is he saying this because Jacob has been an exemplary model of obedience? Answer, no, he's been a goober. I love this promise to Jacob and all the goobers in the house said, oh, amen. And will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken. Verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Whoa, surely the Lord is in this place. And you might want to highlight this. And I did not know it. For spiritual warfare. Number one, have you gone to Gilgal? Have you cut away some stuff you need to be cutting away? And then when you start moving in that direction, and it seems like, wow, this is hard. This is tough sledding. This is hard rowing right here. And it just seems like God is nowhere around. I am with you because at the time, I did not know it. Verse 17, and I was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. There's your word, Beth-El. But the name of the city had been Luz. Luz means separation. When he rolled into town, maybe there was no room at the Motel 6, I don't know. And he's got a rock for a pillow. What's the name of this place? Luz? Oh, isn't that the truth? I am separated from my family, everybody that I know. I got nobody hanging with me, nobody supporting me. I am separated. Then he has the dream and he realizes God's saying to him, I got this, Jacob. He names the place Bethel. Back to 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 3. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha, and they said to him, Dude, do you know that the Lord is going to take away your master from you today? Not sure why everybody knew it, but they did. And he said, yes, I know, keep silent. He wasn't shushing them necessarily. He's basically saying, I know that he's leaving today. You telling me that just increases my pain, hurts my heart. Verse 4. Elijah said to him, hey, Elisha, nice job following me to Bethel. What is Bethel? The house of God. After I've been to Gilgal, rolled away the stuff, hang in the house of God and learn about God's word. That's Bethel, really. You stay in church then, so to speak, because I have to go to Jericho, verse 4. For the Lord has sent me unto Jericho. You stay here. You guys know the story about Jericho. And they were instructed by the Lord to march around it one day for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, they were to march around it seven times. And while they were marching lap after lap after lap, what were they supposed to be saying? Nothing. I've been saved. I've cut away the stuff at Gilgal. I've been hanging in church and reading the word. But the spiritual battle that I'm facing, Lord, seems like I'm going around and around and around and around and around. Just keep marching. How do we say it around here? Just keep showing up, you guys. That's one of the biggest components of victory, I believe. Just keep showing up. You think that you're going around in circles. Why so long? It's seemingly going nowhere, Lord. What happened for the people of Jericho? They walked around the first time and they had their spears. They're all, you're going to get us? And the guys didn't say anything. They just walked around. Then went out to the camp. Came up the next day. You guys going to get us now? They didn't say a thing. They just walked around. 6 days that happened. And on day 7, the guy walked up on the top of the wall with his coffee. They showing up again? Yeah, same time every day. Oh, what do? They just walk around. What kind of God is that? They must be a weenie God, because that's terrible behavior right there. One time, two times, three times. Anybody getting tired yet? Four times. Five times. Come on, Steve, move on. Six times. Seven times. Then the shout. The shout. It takes a little while sometimes, and it seems like you're going around in a circle, but just keep marching. Why so long? It's seemingly going nowhere. Because God is building a witness for you and those that are watching. What happened to the walls, you guys? The Bible said they fell over. Do you think that the people of Jericho behind their fortified walls, now do they have any doubt who the God of the Israelis are? God is building a witness. Just keep showing up. He's building something in you, no doubt about it. But don't discount the idea that he is also building a witness for somebody, or probably a group of somebodies in your life, that God wants to say, watch how a woman of God or a man of God behaves to people that know you. Hey, I know this guy's a Christian, or this gal's a Christian. They say so. But man, have you been seeing what they've been going through? Are they leaking? Are they doing stuff and saying stuff and grumping at the water cooler? No, the thing about it is, she still smiles and then offers to pray for me. God is building a witness for you and through you because the shout is coming. As your soul lives, I will not leave you. So I'm not just going to leave you in church as well. I'm just listening to Bible studies only, nodding in hearty agreement. Are you ready to do some laps? Are you ready to get out there and let God show through you? Verse 5, and the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elijah and said, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? He says the same thing. You guys, it hurts my heart. Of course I know. You don't need to tell me that. Verse 6, then Elijah said to him, stay here in Jericho, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Jordan. I feel content now that I've learned the hard-fought, hard-won lessons of patience, etc. Is there more to the story? Yeah, we got another stop, Jordan. As your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, that was an outer covering of sort, took his mantle, rolled it up, and he struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Joshua, it had happened with the priests and the Ark of the Covenant, etc. And now all these years later, it's happening again. Moses, his authority was symbolized by his staff. And so he parted the Red Sea. God's people released from bondage. What is this model? Elijah's mantle or his authority parting the Jordan really seems to be for the benefit of one person, Elisha. That's who follows him across. Verse 9. And so it was that when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, okay, you have followed me from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. And now you have crossed over. Well done. Well done in the spiritual battle. And Elijah, functioning almost as a model of the word of God, you have done well. What is it that you want now? Now ask and you shall receive. What do you think he's going to ask for? In the winning lottery ticket. What's it up to, by the way?
$1.5 billion.
My, oh my, oh my, oh my. Ask what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And a lot of people think, well, he just wants more of a shwammy than Elijah has. But you have to remember to think Jewish. Right in your margin there, Deuteronomy 21, verse 17. He's not being greedy. He is asking for the right and the authority of the eldest son. The eldest son in his inheritance would get a double portion. What he's asking for is not the goody of spiritual shwammy necessarily. He's saying, hey, Elijah, you're obviously God's man. And when you leave, I would like to be inherited your great anointing. That's what he means by a double portion. Now watch what Elijah says. Look at verse 10. So Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. If I were a rabbi, I'm no rabbi, but if I were, what he is saying is you have asked a hard thing. Is anything too hard for God? Answer? It's not hard in the sense it's difficult. It's not mine to give, Elisha. God gives the anointing and the authority to whoever he wills.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.